true of you, Christian? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? Is it the sweetest name you've ever heard? Is it give you comfort and peace, consolation? What a blessed name. Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, think of him tonight as we turn to the Word of God, as we turn to Luke chapter 24 again, please. Very familiar passage to us all. The two men on the road to Emmaus. This is the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke, as we know, was a physician. He was a man who inquired. He had an inquisitive mind. And he inquires on the life and birth of the Lord Jesus and his ministry. He speaks to eyewitnesses. As we know, he also penned the book of Acts. And we come to this final chapter where these two men are on the road to Emmaus. And that's sad. And we read that verse 17. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that give one another as ye walk and are sad? They're sad people because their hopes have been dashed and disappointed. They trusted in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. It's not a sin to be sad. There are times when we are sad. Circumstances affect us. We're human. It's a natural human response to circumstances and situations we find ourselves in. And these two men, as they journeyed back to Emmaus, they're sad in their heart. They are downcast. The word sad there means they're despondent. I know friends like that. Everything you say to them, they reply in a very despondent way. It's their nature. They're a bit like Eeyore in Pooh. I'm sure you know these characters. Everything about that is sad look upon their face, and everything is this gloomy outlook. But these men are sad for a particular reason. They're sad and they're returning home to Emmaus. So in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. What same day? Verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre to bring spices. So the women are bringing spices to the sepulchre to embalm the body of Jesus. And when they get there, early in the morning, they found the stone is rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid, the women, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. They are sad because they had forgotten. They didn't remember. This is your problem. This is my problem. We're so apt to forget simple things and even profound things which are revealed to us in the scriptures. He is not here, but is risen. He told you he was going to rise. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now this is the third day. This is the first day of the week. This is a day of new beginnings. This is the eighth day. We sort of touched on the eighth day this morning. So that the eighth day is important in the scriptures. The young child, the Jewish child, was circumcised on the eighth day. The Lord Jesus rose on the eighth day. Interesting enough fact, in Luke's gospel, when he opens their eyes by breaking the bread, that is the eighth meal recorded in the book of Luke. These things are profound and significant. The eighth day is the day of new beginnings. And yet, they forgot. That's why we have the Lord's table. Do this in remembrance of it. Can we ever forget the Lord's sacrifice? Yes, we can. We need to be reminded constantly. Remember the children of Israel, they crossed over the river and they set up stones of remembrance. That when the future generations come, Father, what do these stones mean? This is where God intervenes, where God came to our rescue. And they're set there as a memorial so that we remember. Every village, every town has a memorial for those who died in the Great War and the Second World War. Remembrance. Remember those who sacrificed, because we are prone to forget. That's our nature. I sometimes forget what I'm doing. I go to get something. I go to where I think it is. What did I come here for? I've got to go back. Oh yeah, I remember now. That's who we are. That's a part of our fallen nature. And these men didn't remember what the Lord had told them, that he would rise again on the third day. Then the penny drops, verse 8, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre. This is the women, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Unto the apostles. Now surely they would remember. They'd been with the Lord all those years. They'd seen him work, been eyewitnesses to his ministry. But look at the response in verse 11. This is the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. That is our problem again. The problem of unbelief. Even for the Christian, it is our greatest sin. The sin of unbelief. We're in a strait, difficult situation. And we feel abandoned. But no, the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We dismiss it. Other scriptures have come to mind. They believed them not. They didn't believe their testimony. They didn't believe the eyewitness accounts. As if it was an idle tale. And alas, there are many in chapels and churches in our nation tonight, this Lord's Day, who believe that what we preach and teach about idle tales. They believe these are fantasies. They believe these are stories. I don't like people say, can I read a story from the Bible? No, it's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. It's a narrative of historical events. Then we have people in high position of a national church who believe that these things are but idle tales. They're not. This is the truth, the revealed truth of God Almighty. And they believed them not. Then Peter, verse 12, he rose and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now that's the background to these two men on the road to Emmaus. Road to Emmaus. It's west of Jerusalem. It's about a 7.5 mile journey. And these two men are Going back to Emmaus. Remember this morning I spoke about that we are prone to wander, often I feel it. This is it here. These two guys, they're wandering off. Instead of being there in Jerusalem with the people of God, they decided to pack their bags and to go home. They're wandering. They're wanderers. They're lost. They're sad, downhearted, dispirited. Let's go home. One Catholic commentator I read occasionally, he said there's nothing to see here in this verse. I beg to differ. I see two lost sheep. And I see a saviour going out into the wilderness to find those two lost sheep. Instead of being in Jerusalem with the crowd and with the apostles, the Lord Jesus has a heart for the wanderer. And he goes into the wilderness to regain those two lost sheep, to bring them back to the fold, to encourage them. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. The Lord Jesus has a heart for you. He has concern for you. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows your situation. And he goes out. This is his express mission, to seek and to save that which was lost. And as these two brothers are walking, verse 14, they talk together of all those things which had happened. What things? What has happened? And they're talking and discussing with one another. Isn't that good to see? But they were talking despite their sadness. And how encouraging is that when Christians meet together, they talk about the things of God. They talk about the scriptures. They talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of redemption. They talk about what God has done for them. They have a testimony and they want to share that. And they talk together of all these things which had happened. And as they talked and communed with one another, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. And he went with them. Jesus himself drew near. He comes, as it were, from behind them. And he catches them up. And he has fellowship with them. But notice this, as is often the case after the resurrection. Verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Those scales, that blindness was upon them that they should not know. Mary had the same problem in the garden. She fought him to be the gardener. What have you done with my Lord? And when he says the word Mary, she says, Rabboni, Master. He was made known. Just that simple word. And these two brothers here, their eyes were blinded to this stranger who comes alongside them. And their eyes were dim to who he was. They did not know him. And that's the case of the unbeliever. Again, as this morning, their eyes are dim to these truths. Our eyes are blinded to the work and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we should not know him. We should not know him. And for a Christian tonight, rejoice in the knowledge that you know him because he has revealed him to you. He has made himself known to you through providence and through the scriptures. But their eyes were holden that they should not know. And he asked, and he said unto him, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, Answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? What things? Are you the only man in the whole of Jerusalem who is a stranger to these things? Hast thou not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And the Lord Jesus says unto them, What things? What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And the things he's inquiring about is his betrayal, his sham judgment before Pilate and the Sanhedrin, the crucifixion as they impaled his body upon a tree. These are the things that made them sad. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day. They had a screwed understanding of the scriptures. They had a misunderstanding of what Messiah would achieve for the nation of Israel. They believed, as the nation believed, that the Messiah would come and draw all the forces of the Romans out of Israel and set up a new kingdom, a political kingdom. And their hopes were dashed as the perceived Messiah, in their eyes, was crucified as a criminal with rogues and vagabonds, with those who were the scum of the earth, and the eternal Son of God is hung there in the midst of them. But we trusted it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. They had a wrong expectation. It had its root in a false understanding of the scriptures. And yet Jesus comes into their midst and presents them with an opposite interpretation of his death and of his resurrection. For these two, his death was a tragedy. For Christ, it was a necessity. Verse 26, he says to him, Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? These are the things which were set even before the foundation of the world. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? These things were set by God the Father. In that covenant before time, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit covenanted that these things would come to pass. This was the way of salvation. This is God's plan. And the Lord Jesus comes as that humble servant to fulfill the prophecies. These two men, they believed Jesus of Nazareth, verse 19, was a prophet. And their prophet is dead. And they say, this prophet was mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. He was mighty indeed. He changes water into wine. He raises the dead. Jairus' daughter, risen from the dead. The widow of Nain's son, risen from the dead. A blind man cries out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me. He wants to receive his sight. And the people try to shut him up. Be quiet, they say. And he cries even louder, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me. He healed the lame. They walked. He rose those who were dead. He gave sight to the blind. He reached out to the outcast. He reached out to those who were off scourges of society, the untouchables. He sat and ate with tax collectors. If this man was a true prophet, he would know what sort of person he or she is. He comes and he vindicates his words by his actions, his miracles, and he speaks wonderful things. Open down my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your Lord. And he speaks wonderful words. He speaks of a kingdom. He speaks of a righteousness. He speaks of his death and of his resurrection. And we believed, and we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. He was a mighty prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all people. And because of his words, the chief priests and the rulers hated him. They sought to destroy him. They sought to stone him. They sought to push him over a cliff. But his time was not yet. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and their rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. Those who should have been extolling his worth as Messiah have bitter hatred for him. And he is delivered to the Romans and condemned to death and have crucified him. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, this is the third day since these things were done. I find it quite remarkable. Jesus told him that he would suffer and die, and on the third day he would rise again. And these two men here, these two brothers, they're nearly there, aren't they? This is the third day. But there's no hope, is there? No expectancy of the resurrection. They've gone home and they're sad. Verse 28, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. And despite the testimony of the women, they still not believe in our day. They still have the veil of unbelief upon them. And then verse 24, a certain of them which were with us went to a sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. They saw not. Friends, tonight, do you see him? If you're an unbeliever, you won't see him. But if you're a believer, you will see him. And he said unto them, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. That's a harsh term, isn't it? O fools. Another version would put it, numbskulls, thick. He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart. So again, this is a problem, isn't it? The heart is not engaged with the scriptures. They witnessed all his miracles and all his wonderful words, and yet it didn't affect their heart. And again, with the psalmist, that he wants to follow the Lord with his wholeheartedness. And these two are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered those things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, it expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, Luke, why haven't you told us what he said? It would be such a wonderful sermon, such a wonderful instruction. beginning at Moses, there in the first five books of our Bible, things pertaining to him and his suffering and his death and his resurrection and his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets expanded those things concerning himself. You can go right back, can't we? We can do a mental tour through our Bibles. The tabernacle, speaking of Christ. The materials for that tabernacle, speaking of Christ. The covering of the badger skin, speaking of the humility of Christ, of no reputation. The gold inside the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread. All these are pictures and images of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the judges, as they come as redeemers for Israel, as they fall into unbelief and they cry unto the Lord, and he raises up a judge and he brings deliverance. Pictures of Christ. The psalmist speaking there, the Psalm 22, of detailed description of the crucifixion, even before crucifixion was known. Think of the prophets, Isaiah, speaking about he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. These are the things I'm sure that the Lord brought to their attention. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Read your scriptures, read your Old Testament with expectation, with your eyes opened, looking for Christ. He is there to be found. He is not hidden. He's open. Ask the Lord again to open your eyes that you may behold wondrous things. They drew nigh unto the village wherever they went. He made though he would go further, go on further. The day is drawn to an end. It's been a long, arduous journey, 7.5 miles, in the heat and the dust. And he makes as if to go on further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, abide with us. This man is a stranger to them. And they invite him into their residence, to their abode. Now this is Middle Eastern Asian culture. You see a stranger, you show them kindness, you give them food, you give them shelter, you give them drink. Unlike the West, if I need to come and see you, I'm going to make an appointment. And then that can be quite difficult, but for the Middle Eastern mind, you know, hospitality is imperative. This man may be in danger. This man needs support, he needs rest, he needs comfort, he needs food and shelter. There are robbers out there. And it's a given you give hospitality. We've lost that in our culture. It's been taken away from us. Would you invite a stranger into your home? If you met someone walking down the road, we've got some young men down in the Bowship Hotel there. They come over, little dinghies from France, fleeing oppression and war, etc. Would you invite one of those to your home? I doubt it. Because that's who we are. We're very nervous, very suspicious. In Asian culture, they are offended if you refuse hospitality. It's an offence to refuse food and water. To refuse that is a great insult. And they will bear heavy on you to accept it. I've experienced that many times. Even with friends in London, Asian friends in London. Come in for some food. I'm okay. No, you've got to come in. And you just give in to their persistence. I think that's what's happened here. A stranger to them makes to go further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. But we entertain strangers. Are we entertaining angels unawares? They invite him into their home. And it came to pass in verse 30, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke and gave it to them. Sometimes can't read his words without feeling a bit tearful, because it's so sweet, isn't it? And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. And what was the result of that breaking of bread? Their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew him in the breaking of bread. Their eyes were opened. Open thou my eyes, and I may behold wondrous things from thy law. And the actual Greek word here for opened is like the eyes of a firstborn child. When that child comes into this world, his eyes are opened. I can still remember holding my daughters and looking into their eyes. Deep brown eyes. And what a moment. It's a moment you don't forget as a parent. Then you wonder what life's going to hold for them. That's the sense here, see. Their eyes were opened as a newborn child. And they knew him. What greater privilege, dear friend, can we ever experience than to know him? To have that intimate relationship with him? To know him as my Saviour, my Redeemer? To know him as my God, my elder brother, my kinsman Redeemer, my guide, my shelter, my high tower, place of refuge and safety. These are the things the world has no concept of. And yet, he has made himself known to us that we may know him. If you take nothing else away from this Lord's Day, take this, that you may know him. And he vanished out of his sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Again, that word opened is the same opened in verse 31 as newborn babes. Is that not how we have to receive the word of God as little children? And as he opened the scriptures to them, their hearts burned with excitement. The word there, burn, is with a flame, with heat, with passion. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked of us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Is that not the desire of every preacher and every teacher and every evangelist, that the people of God, their hearts may burn within them as they contemplate the wonders of this wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? How's your heart tonight, friend? Is it cold? Is it distant? Is it disinterested? Or is it warm to the things of Christ? As the scriptures are opened from this pulpit, for when you study at home, in your private devotions, and their response in verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They've just done a 7.5 mile journey. It's night time. But this cannot wait till the morning. We've got to share this good news with their brethren back in Jerusalem. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and have appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Shalom, peace be unto you." The peace of God, which passes all understanding. The peace of God, which reconciles a rebel sinner to a holy and a just and a righteous God. Peace with God. What blessing, what blessing, what other blessing can a man or woman ever desire, or a boy or a girl, to be reconciled with God, to be at peace with God, all through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again from the dead. The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Has he appeared to you? May the Lord bless those thoughts to us this evening now. Close our worship by singing hymn number 808, please. "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide." Hymn 808. "Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fails and comforts me, little day, earth's voice from thee. you for your word. We thank you it is the word of God, the revelation of God's heart. We thank you that you're a great Saviour who seeks the lost who are in the wilderness. You are a God who cares for his sheep and for his people. We thank you, Lord, that you do abide with us. You have abided with us. And you will eternally abide with us. So, Lord, we pray that you would hold us through this coming week. That you would keep us near to the Saviour's side. Strengthen us, sustain us, we pray. Now the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore.